I'm at the Native Corners home of well-known Australian sculptor Stephen Walker. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're a relatively near neighbour of mine. I live at Richmond, and Native Corners, I love the idea that Campania, which is a small enough in itself village, actually has a suburb. Do you consider yourself a suburb of Campania here?
I came to Campania to have a little place in the bush, but close enough to a big city. Yes. So I have the best of both worlds. I have access to a nice, big, enjoyable city and a country life.
Yeah. And this is where you live and work. And to drive up your driveway is just such a revelation. It is full of your work. It is astonishing. Is that the reaction you get from everyone who comes to visit?
Oh, it tends to be. But we've been working at creating the landscaping of this whole enterprise. Is basically, it's a combination between my wife and myself, and time. Time has been the thing. When I first came here, I did a bushfire clear, bush clearance of using a slasher. Now you can't even get a slasher anywhere near it. Yeah. Trees everywhere.
Yeah. It is fabulous, but it's the scale of the works. And I suppose that's what you're best known for, the large scale of your bronzes that are really sensational. And I mean that in the true sense of the word. There are so many works around here that just ambush you with their size and their intensity.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that. But certainly I feel comfortable working on an architectural scale. I like to play with architectural spaces as well as sculptural ideas. So there's a philosophy of sculpture, the philosophy of architecture. I try and join the two together in my work. I don't give myself any particular accolade for what I've done in bronze, because the Chinese were doing it 5,000 years ago or 3,500 years ago. So bronze is a very honourable material, but it's a beautiful material to work with, very flexible, all sorts of exciting things can happen. But it's also a fair amount of hard work as well.
Yeah, indeed. Does it require, and again, just a really sort of silly question here, how much finishing does it require once it comes out of the casting?
Well, when you break open a mould, that's when your work really starts. Yeah. I'm not talking creatively. Creatively, it starts at a different level entirely. Creatively, it could be in the middle of the night, lying in bed, and you think of something, and the next day you go and start working on it. But you know, if you're working on a commission, for example, some of these works are very slow process. The work in Sydney, my major work in Sydney, the Tank Stream Fountain, evolved over a year, and then took a couple of years to make. So it can be, that's a big major work that took a long time to do.
Now, we're here is the launch of Heading South. This is a book of, now, do we call this your illustrations or your visual diary?
First of all, I'm not an historian. So I've picked out what I would regard as relevant episodes from 1840 up to the present day. This morning I was looking at the Astronaut, anchored in Hobart, spends his winter there. The Aurora spends its winter in Hobart. So, and that's, you know, the Hobart link has been very strong for many years. And when I did the whale at Cockle Creek, I went into the history of whaling, and it goes back to the 1830s. So there's been a continuous link. And also I'm rather fascinated by the fact that we could be speaking French if the French had got here just a bit before the British.
Yes.
And so and that's it. I have a strong interest in history, but a selective history. Mm. And the Heading South has been my sort of edited version of the things that appeal to me. The book itself has been, the look at the portfolio has been the achievement of my son, Adam, who's my best quality control. That's not good enough, Dad. You have to get rid of that, put in something else. And he has been wonderful in helping me bring this portfolio to finality, which is what we're launching today.
And I described it as a diary, though, because it does, I'm assuming, because I've only had 30 seconds to look at it, but it would chronicle your visits to the Deep South as well. You've been twice, I think, down there.
Yes, it's based on personal experiences, but I'm also, you know, obviously 1840 is not a personal experience, but certainly the mid-80s to the late 80s, 1980, I had two trips to Antarctica, And I can still journey there in my mind. I can still, I enjoy thinking of, if you like, a fixation on certain aspects of Antarctica. Once people are bitten by that bug, they never seem to recover from it because people go back again and again and again, and so would I if I had the opportunities.
And you can't put in words what the nature of that addiction is, though, can you? What is it? Oh, I won't. I won't.
To a degree. Yeah. First of all, colour. The colours in Antarctica are so subtle and so unexpected. Some of the pastel sketches I did for my wife's diary when I was down there were very subtle pinks and mauves and violets and greys and a deep, deep indigo blue in the sea. The sea is the blackest sea you could ever see. And so that's that, and the colours, but also the extraordinary life forms that you go through. A few days of sailing, there's nothing much happening. Then you get within into the ice, and suddenly the ice becomes alive again because you've got seals and penguins and birds flying around you, and it becomes a very lively place.
Yes. And for a landscape we would think is essentially white, it's the colours of the rainbow you're talking about.
Yes, but incredible variety of colour. Yes. That was the thing that impressed me. And also, you know, I was very lucky. I was there in the summertime, so I had 24 hours of daylight to play with. Mm. My first Antarctic sculpture was done before I went to Antarctica, which is the old Reserve Bank in Macquarie Street.
Oh, yes.
I did that. I'd spent a lot of time the previous year working on the idea of an Antarctic visitor centre. I went to visit Philip Law in Melbourne and Fred Jacker in Adelaide, and Mawson's family. I was very enthused about the idea of doing something specific to Antarctica, because you've got Hobart, Christchurch, and Cape Town, and that's about it in terms of closeness to the and in South America, of course, but the closeness to the mainland of Antarctica.
Yes, there's a chapter in Robert Hughes' book, The Fatal Shore, which is entitled, it's a quote from a settler, "This Southern Outpost." And I love the idea of Hobart being a southern outpost.
Yes, well, it's probably the most comfortable southern outpost you could ever imagine. But I've been, you know, I haven't ever endured hardship in my experience when I've been drawing ashore in Antarctica, when I was drawing Mawson's hut, which Mawson called Home at the Blizzard. I had a perfect summer day, and I was sweating in my Antarctic gear as I went taking drawings of Mawson's hut. Yes. I've been extraordinarily fortunate in that respect.
Yes, and the Mawson's hut illustration is actually the cover of Heading South. I see in my very quick glimpse through the book that you've reproduced almost that classic portrait of Mawson, the one that was used on the stamp and the one we see with the big knitted balaclava.
Well, I did a number of drawings of Mawson, and he was, still is one of my heroes, because I think he was an extraordinary man, every aspect of Mawson. And he was a great patriot and an enthusiast. He wanted to claim land for Australia. 40%, theoretically, 40% of Antarctica belongs to Australia. That's not true, of course. It belonged to everybody. But his slice of Antarctica, nice big slice of that Antarctic cake.
Mm. And Heading South, that's limited to, as I understand, limited to 100 copies?
That's right. Well, it seemed nice to, again, working with my son, it seemed a logical sort of number. We're not interested in book production as such, but trying to create a work of art in another printed form. Mm. And so the drawings, the text and so on, it's very personal. Mm. I suppose if we'd printed more pages, more books, on, I don't know. But I'm not a book producer. This is my first and probably my only effort in producing a book, which I couldn't ever have done without my son and my wife too. They're picking up all the bits and pieces that I've left behind.
Yes. And again, to be cliched and predictable, set to become an instant collectible, you'd have to think.
I would hope so, yes, because it's after I'd signed 100 copies. That's about it. I'm not signing anymore because my signature was starting to look a little bit tired. Thanks very much, Chris.
Stephen, thank you.